So to be coming over for Thanksgiving, because it's kind of close to that too. Take them and give them away. Whatever you need, just go down and let's overrun Tammy and just clean the place out as we have a good fundraiser opportunity there. Tomorrow morning, as I understand, weather permitting, and I think the weather will be permitting, they're going to be doing some more seal coating on the parking lot. Anybody that would happen to be free, your help would be greatly appreciated. I know they did this right out front here a few weeks ago and took some time, took some work. Many hands makes light work. So if you are available and can be there starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, they're going to go at it again. It mentions in there about shoes. Wear, if you help, wear old shoes. You're going to get that stuff on your shoes, and it really doesn't come off. So you want to wear something that you don't mind getting kind of messed up. The other warning I'd give you, and I don't think anybody would be doing this, don't wear shorts. Not a good idea, because if that gets on your legs, it gets on your skin, it just burns your skin. So fair warnings there.
If you do it right, you don't get
dirty. Man, I've never done it right. I'll let it go. Out in the sign-up, we have a couple of sign-up sheets for you to be thinking about, and I think I'm just going to start calling that the sign-up table. Anybody wanting to bring a dessert for snacks before the service, after service, how we do that, and we always like to have coffee and a little refreshment, and sign up for that. And then there's another sheet there. We have had that partially filled out, but with the youth group meeting on Wednesday nights, we like to try to have a meal or provide something for these young people. And we just could use your help. If you would be willing to prepare something or put something together for the young people, for the youth group, please sign up on the sheet there. If you're concerned about numbers, you can talk to me or you can talk to Eric. Morgan's back there this morning. Brian's back. Whoever. Brett, yeah. Get an idea of how many. Even Deidre over here, she's usually here and has an idea of how many. See, some people are going to come to you, Deidre, and they're going to ask you a question. Yeah, I'm getting the look of love right now. Yeah, that's the definite I love you, Pastor, look. but anyway, just if you are interested, please make sure you fill that out and sign up. With that, I'd ask our ushers to come forward, please. God blesses us in so many ways. He blesses our heart. He blesses us with the sunshine and the beauty of the day. He blesses us that we're able to just to be here. So as we come, we return to Him a portion of those blessings that He has given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much for all that You do. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity to receive this offering. But as we would receive it, we want to lift it up to You. We ask, Father, that You would give the increase, that You would use this for the building of Your kingdom, that Your work might continue not only in this church, but through this church into the community, and that lives would be changed. And Father, we give, I pray that we give with a willing heart, with a heart that is filled with love for You, love for Your church. So we lift this to You. In Jesus' name, amen. You're at. Back up. Back up. I would like to have that last song back up on the screen. The words, please, from at the beginning. I was watching as we were singing this, and believe it or not, folks, this is going to tie to the message this morning. I don't know how that worked out, but it does. It does. That's right. Here's what I want you to do. Oh, Lord, You're beautiful, okay? Your face is all I see. Next line. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abound to me. Now, I want us to sing that. But guys, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to sing it so much from here as you sing it from here. And we're in a very safe spot here, so we can close our eyes except when the pastor's preaching. But what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes and I want you to imagine you're talking to God. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. And seeing that, it's not that hard. We'll lead it from the front. But sing it from your heart. Eyes closed. I want you to be focused and thinking about God. Because we're singing to Him. We don't sing for ourselves. We're singing to God. We're singing praises to Him. So let's do it again. Start the music. We may come in wrong. It doesn't matter. I haven't practiced with them. But I just want us to do this. Would you close your eyes? And what I'm going to ask you to do this morning as we sing this, I want you to not only have your eyes closed, but I want you to have your heart and your mind open, and then I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to lift your voices to God and say, God, I'm looking at you, and I'm here, and your face is all I see, and you're so beautiful, and I lift this to you. So as we start, let's sing together. Okay. Lord, you're beautiful. Lift it from your heart. Your face is all I see. Now think about this next line. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds with me. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds with me. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the words of the song and for touching our hearts that we can focus on you. Amen. Thank you, guys. I want to start off this morning, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along and be 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 5. King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple." Oh, thank you so much, honey. "With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. All of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls and the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" Some time ago, and I hadn't used it, and I almost forgot about it, I received a list, and somebody sent me this list, and it was entitled Satan's Beatitudes. And so I want to share those with you. Satan's Beatitudes. Some of you have been looking at the Beatitudes and studying the Beatitudes and trying to find some answers, and I'm not giving you those answers today, so you got to keep studying and trying to find them. But I want to share this with you. Satan's Beatitudes. They said that, really, as I got this, that if the devil were to write his Beatitudes down, they'd go something like this. Blessed are they who are too tired and busy to go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, for they are my best workers. Blessed are they who are bored with the minister's mannerisms and mistakes, for they get nothing out of the sermon. Blessed is the church member who expects to be invited to his own church, for he is a part of the problem instead of the solution. Blessed are those who gossip, for they cause strife and division that pleases me. Blessed are they who are easily offended, for they will soon get angry and quit. Blessed are they who do not give their tithes and offerings to carry on God's work, for they're my best workers. Blessed are they who profess to love God, but hates his brother, for he shall be with me forever. Blessed are the troublemakers, for they shall be called the children of Satan. Blessed are the complainers, for I'm all ears to them. Now, as I thought about this, and as I was putting this down and thinking it through, there were two things that immediately hit me. Number one is that I can honestly say I have pastored every one of those types of church members, bar none. Number two, that what the church desperately needs are a lot more members who quite simply love the church. That's it. But not only love their church, but they love their church the way God loves the church. There's a difference. You see, God loves the church sacrificially. There's a blessing that comes to every church member who really will love his church and love it the right way and love it for the right reason. And I want to share with you this morning just three of kind of my own Beatitudes for the church. I'm not rewriting the Bible here and I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just kind of laying out some reasoning. But three Beatitudes for a church member who truly loves his church the way Jesus wants him to love it. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Actually, I'm going to be asking you a series of questions this morning, and hopefully you're able to answer them. But one of the questions, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. You don't even have to call it out if you don't want to. But if I was to say to you this morning, do you love your church? What would your answer be?
Amen.
Okay. Be careful. I believe you. But we're going to ask some questions about it and see how you stand up. Because it is important. And when we say we love God's church, that's what makes it important. Number one, blessed is the church member who gives his church his loving affection. The background of the passage I read is quite interesting. David had a desire to build a house for God. He wanted to build a church, build a temple. And it was a legitimate desire. It was a noble desire. It was an honorable desire. It was something that he wanted to do. But God, in his sovereign will and purpose, did not want David to build it. He wanted David's son, Solomon, to build the house, to build the temple. So David, you know, he was still the king of Israel. And he could have got mad. He could have pouted. He could have walked away from it and said, I won't have anything to do with it. And he could have stomped off and said, if I can't build it, then I'm not going to have any part of it. He could have. But that was not what he did. He could have said, there's nothing in it for me. Why should I participate? And I want you to think about this. David was going to give to build a house of worship that would benefit someone else. He was going to give to build a house of worship that he would never attend. David was going to give to build a house of worship that he would not even live to see. Now, had David said, what's in it for me? He wouldn't have given one dime to see that house built. But David's heart, his heart was this. I want to invest in the work of God any way that I can. And I'm willing to build a house of worship even if it will... If I will never enter into it, and if it means God can be glorified, the word can be preached, and other people can be saved, then I'm going to build it because I love God. Verse 1 that we looked at, the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. And I want to say to our church this morning, because I believe we have a wonderful facility here and God has provided this for us, but this temple, this church, this building that we meet in was never to be a monument to any one individual or even to a group of individuals. It was built for God. Amen? And it was built for God's glory and for His kingdom and for the preaching of His word. And in none of those do we say it was built for Dennis or Bob or Ted or Alice or any other name. It was built for God. And I want to ask you a question. Before that, I got ahead of my notes. I want you to think about what David gave. And I don't have time to go into all the detail of how it breaks down and exactly how he gave. In modern day terms, what David is saying when he's going to give to the building of the temple is he's giving over $20 billion. Billion dollars to build that temple. But it's not what David gave that made it so impressive. It's why he gave. It's why he gave. David gave to God's house because he loved God. And he loved God's house. So as I ask you a question, or as a series of questions, bear with me. When I say, do you love God's church? I'm not asking you, do you love our praise team? I'm asking, do you love God's church? And don't answer that too quickly, because I want to say it to you as gently and as lovingly, but yet as firmly as I can. You have no right to say that you love God's church if you're not giving to it and supporting it financially with your tithes and offerings. That's hard. See, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And all we know that Jesus loves the church. But how do we know that He loves the church? Did He say so? No. No, He didn't say that. But in Ephesians 5:25 it says, Christ loved the church and He did what? He gave Himself for the church. Jesus loves the church. Who's the church? It's the people. Jesus loves you, and He gave Himself for you. He loved the church so much that He was willing to die for the church. Do you love your church? Do you truly love it? Do you love it the way Jesus loved it? The way David loved it? Ask you another question. If you do support this church financially, why do you do it? And I want you to understand that God not only sees what you give, He sees why you give it. And I see this happening and I hear of it happening, and people do this all the time with their giving. Here, God, I'm putting this in the plate. Aren't you proud of me? He says, I died for you. Well, here, God, this isn't quite what it should be, but it's what I'm going to give today. And He says, I gave my best for you. I held nothing back. And even if you give, and you give generously, if you give for the wrong motive or the wrong reason, God writes zero on that account. Do you give to the church for any other reason than because you love Jesus and you love this church? If you give to this church just so you can get it off, written off on your income tax, wrong reason, folks. If you give to the church only when you agree with everything that goes on, wrong reason. If you give to the church only when things are going exactly your way, wrong reason. And if you give for any other reason than your love for Jesus and this church, the reasoning is wrong. Oh, man. And I know there's some that's a little crushing. You don't like to think about that. We give because we love Jesus. We give because we love the church. Now, there's people that say, the moment things don't go their way or they don't agree with the decision, they're not going to give anymore. You know how people vote in the church? Do you know how people vote in the church? It's real simple. They vote with their wallet. And there may be some today that say, yeah, and mine's going closed, Pastor, because you put too much pressure on me. People don't like to hear it when we talk about money in church. They vote with their wallet. And they quit giving because somebody said something or the pastor said something that they didn't like, or they don't like a decision that was made, or they don't like something that is going on. So they say, I'll show them. And Jesus just looks at you and says, what? Who do you love? And you love Jesus. Or they don't agree with a decision, so they're just not going to give anymore. So let me make this really, really plain for you. There is no excuse, and you can write this down if you want to. There is no excuse that God will accept from a church member not to support the church financially that you're a member of or that you regularly attend. Did you catch that? There's no excuse. Can you imagine standing before God, and that day will come, and that's awesome. That's awesome. And standing before God, and He says, hey, you know what? Give me an account of what you did in my church and how you handled my church and the love that you had. What's this about? How did you love my church? We say, oh, blah, 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 blah. And He looks at it and says, that's right. Because you sure didn't show the love that you have for me. I don't want you to get me wrong this morning. It's not all about the money. If you love Jesus, if you love His church, it's that simple. You want to give to it. And for a lot of people holding that back keeps them from being as close to God as they could be. And God's not going to accept excuses. When you withhold from the church, you withhold from Jesus. When you quit giving to the church, you quit giving to Jesus. When you refuse to help the church, you refuse to help Lord Jesus. So where do I get an idea like that? Remember when Paul met Jesus on the Damascus Road, and he asked Paul a very interesting question in Acts 9, verse 4. At that time, it was still Saul, and he calls him and says, "Saul! Saul! Why are you persecuting me?" Paul was persecuting the church, and he was killing Christians and having them locked up. And yet Jesus said, "You are persecuting me." Very personal. Jesus is saying, and you got to understand what he's saying, anything that you do to hurt the church, it hurts Jesus. And when you don't support your church, then you're not supporting Jesus. When you don't give to your church, you're not giving to Jesus. And this is what he's saying. And when you don't love your church like you ought to, then you don't love me being Jesus like you ought to. Heard about a four-year-old boy. A little four-year-old boy went up to his mother one time. He says, "Mommy, when I grow up, I'm going to buy you a fur coat, a diamond ring, and a Mercedes." And the mother thought, "Oh, how nice. How does a four-year-old know what a Mercedes is?" But anyway. One day, his mother was upset with him, and she scolded him for a mistake that he'd made. And he pointed his finger to her and said, "There goes the fur coat." That's sometimes how we look at church. I'm mad at somebody. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody stepped on my toes. And you know, we do things in the church that we would not dare do anywhere else. I work with somebody and they get on my nerve. It's on my job, you know, and they get on my nerve and they drive me crazy. And oh, I'd love to just da-da-da-da. And we complain. But you know what? You don't leave the job, do you? No, you don't. You don't turn your back on it? No, you don't. You continue to work. You continue to go to work. You continue to go to school. All of my friends I have at school, but there's these ones that just are not friends. You still go to school. But with the church, oh, church made me mad. Church did this. Church made people. And you know what? It's interesting because it's so-and-so in the church that made me mad. I've heard that so many times. It's so-and-so, and you know, so-and-so did this, and I sit there and I listen, and I say, you know, this isn't about so-and-so. This is about God. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about His church. It's about God working in the church and through the church and through the lives of the people in the church, and God showing His great love in your life and what He has done for you specifically, how He has sustained your life, how He has given to you and poured into you. But instead of saying, "Jesus, I love you and I love the church that you established," it's so-and-so hurt my feelings. Folks, I said, do you love the church? And do you love Jesus? That's what it's about. You're not going to get along with everybody. You got to love them, because God says you got to love them. But you're not going to get along with everybody. But there's a whole bunch that you can. Well, some people, they just see the church like, there goes the fur coat. And the first time something goes wrong, the first time pastor makes a decision they don't like, that they don't agree with, the first time the church goes in a direction that they don't want it to, there goes the tithe. And I go back to what David said. And David gave only one reason for his giving to the church, this $20 billion to see it built. He said this, "Because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the building of that house." Listen, no matter what you do, whether it is giving tithes and offerings, whether it is singing as a part of the praise team, whether it's teaching classes, or just sitting here in the pews on Sunday mornings, I want you to know something. Would you do it because you love Jesus? Can you say yes to that? Whatever you do, because you love Jesus. Number two, blessed. Blessed are the believers who give his church his loyal allegiance. There's a statement in Nehemiah 10:39 said, "We will not forsake the house of our Lord." We will not forsake the house of the Lord. The word forsake means neglect, to let go of or to let loose. It's a word that describes how a man, after 25 years of faithful marriage, would leave his wife for a younger woman. It literally means to forsake or to desert. And it's just as inexcusable for a man to forsake his wife, it is inexcusable for a Christian to forsake his church. And I want to give you several ways that you can forsake or that you can neglect your church, okay? There are some people who neglect their church simply by just not coming. Just not coming. They have all kinds of reasons not to come. Do you know what a yes person is? I learned about this from a wonderful friend of mine. And he taught me about yes people. It's John Chugg back here. Years ago, John said, you know, when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with businesses, when you're making calls, and this was all over a set of golf clubs, and that's a whole story in itself. But he said, what you want to do is you want to keep talking until you get to that person who is the yes person. And a lot of time when you make these phone calls, and if you've ever dealt with collectors and stuff like this, they're no people. And it doesn't matter what you try to do or what you try to see, they're going to try to find a way to say no. But that yes person, that one you get hold of, they're going to do everything they can to make it work out. And I remember the conversation I had with John, and he explained this to me from a business perspective and how it works. And I've really, over the years, tried to follow that because it was good advice. But sometimes people would rather come up with a no and forsake the church instead of looking for reasons to be here. They're just not coming. They just don't show up. They filled the church with their absence. And even though we miss them, guess what? They don't really miss us. Little boy absent from school one day, and the next day when he came back, the teacher said, "George, did you miss school yesterday?" He said, "No, ma'am, not a bit." There's a lot of church members who have forsaken the church and don't even miss it. Pastor, you're being mean today. No, I'm not. Guys, I love you. I love you guys so much, and I love this church, and I love Jesus, and I want you to be that way. I want you to love Jesus. I want you to love His church so much that you want to be a part of it. So much that you want to bring others in, and that you look for reasons to be here. Now, there's also possible, it is possible, to come to church every Sunday and still neglect the church. And there are some who come to church and basically they just take up space. The only thing that they contribute is their presence. They don't give, they don't work, they don't serve, they don't witness, they don't really worship. Some of them don't even sing, they just come. And then they can say, "I went to church today." You know what I love to do? And some of you, I've done this to you. I see you on Sunday and we have service, and on Monday I see you and I'll say, "What was the message about yesterday?" You would be amazed how many people can't tell me. You would be amazed the number of people that can't tell me what our scripture passage for the day was. By Wednesday, it's totally gone. Now, maybe that's a reflection on me. I don't know. But a lot of people come to church and they just don't participate. They don't get it. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I want you to come. And I thank God every day that you do come, and I'm glad that you're here. I'm simply saying that it is possible to come and still neglect the church. Well, another way we can neglect our church is just by simply not caring at all. And I'm afraid that there are too many in the church or in church today, not just us, but around the world, they just don't care. They don't care if anybody gets saved. They don't care if anybody gets baptized. They don't care if a building is ever built or if money is ever raised for a building or for a new church and stuff like that. They don't care. It just simply makes no difference to them. Our church is like every other church. It's full of willing people. Some are willing to work, and guess what? The rest are willing to let them. That's the truth. I'll be there. Sometimes when things go undone in our church, sometimes it's because nobody is willing to do it. I read a story. It's not a news story, and I think some of you may have heard this, but I always like to come back to it because I find it quite interesting. It's a story about four people. I'm going to have the kids show me how to do that. And these four people have a name, and it's everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Well, there was an important job to be done. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Are you staying with me on this? So here's my last question for you. Are you a part of the everybody that is waiting on somebody to do what anybody can do, but nobody is doing it? Or are you somebody who is doing what everybody thought anybody could do, but nobody would have done if you weren't doing it? Think about that. Number three, blessed is the believer who gives his church his lasting attendance. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, your church deserves your consistent, constant, continuous attendance. So many people only come to church three times in their life. Did you know that? They come when they're hatched, when they're matched, and when they're dispatched. That's it. And everything else in between falls away. And I never cease to be amazed at the excuses that people give for not coming to church. Sometimes, and I keep telling myself, I think I'm going to write a book. Probably won't, though. But here's some reasons people come up with for not going to church. Every time I went, they asked me for money. Well, I'm not going there. The people with whom I had to sit with weren't friendly, and they didn't speak to me. The seats were too hard and just not very comfortable. Now, I want to talk a little bit about thinking of a different way. Because we like to go to restaurants and we like to eat out and do this type of thing. So imagine you go to a restaurant and apply some of these excuses that you use for the church to the restaurant. I went many times to the restaurant, but the chef never came to visit me. The waiter brought a dish that I didn't like. I found out that I was sitting with some hypocrites. They didn't come to eat. They just came to see what everybody was wearing. Sometimes I had to wait in line at the restaurant. When I was growing up, my mom and my dad forced me to eat. Well, I recently read a book on cooking, and now I feel that I know more than the chef knows anyway. Folks, they're just excuses. They're just excuses. And I have a feeling you keep going back to that restaurant. But when it comes to the church, when it comes to God's church, when it comes to the church of Jesus Christ that He built with His own hands, that He died for, it's so easy to just walk away and ignore it. I love this church. I love Jesus. And the reason that I'm here is because I love this church and I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Heard about a preacher, pastor, that visited a farmer, and he wanted to invite this farmer to church. And the farmer said, "Well, I'm never going to come to your church, pastor." The pastor said, "Well, why not?" The farmer looked at him and said, "Well, because I know some of the members of your church, and you know I live a whole lot better than they do. I behave better than them." Well, sometimes later, the pastor bought a pig from the farmer. And he said, "I want you to sell me the smallest, ugliest, sickliest pig that you've got." Well, the farmer was kind of amazed, but gave him exactly what he asked for. And after the pastor had paid for it, he said to the farmer, "I'm going to take this sick, small, ugly pig to everybody in our community, and I'm going to tell them that I bought it from you." The farmer said, "Now, pastor, that's not fair. I've got a lot of hogs that are nicer and bigger and fatter than that one." The pastor looked at him and said, "Buddy, if it's fair for the church, it's fair for the hogs." You should never let a hypocrite keep you away from the house of God. There's an old saying, "I'd rather chase a rabbit and not catch it than to chase a skunk and catch it." There's never an excuse that God will accept for a professing Christian not to go to church. And so the question today for you, I want to ask you the same question that I asked you, and I want you to answer this question now that we've had this talk. I want you to answer it from your heart, and I want you to be very, very sincere and very honest. Do you honestly, from your heart, do you love this church? You can answer now. Okay. And the nays? Because if there are some, I want to talk to you. Do you honestly, wholeheartedly, from all that is in you, do you love Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Are you living it? Does it show in how you conduct the business of the church? Does it show in how you conduct the business of your life? You see, we can't come into church on Sunday mornings and say, I love God, and then go out and live a different way during the week. It doesn't work. It's called hypocrisy. And there's one time in the Bible that God uses a word that is so powerful. It is the worst word, and people that have a hard time understanding this, the worst word that God uses in Scripture refers to the hypocrite. And the Bible says God hates. That's strong. God hates the hypocrite. He hates the one who stands up and says, I love the church and I love Jesus and I love God, and then goes out and lives for hell the rest of the week. He hates the hypocrite. So when you say this, you take on a heavy burden, and I believe you. I believe you love the church. You're here. I believe you love Jesus Christ. You're here. I believe you love God because you have just said, I love God. Now all I challenge you to do is live it. Isn't that simple? Live it. It doesn't matter who you're in front of, who you're around. Live like you believe. Oh God, you're beautiful. Right? Oh God, you're beautiful. And when your eyes are on this child, you think about that? His eyes are on you. What a special place that is. Love God. Love His church. Love His people. Be lifted and exalted because He walks with you. Christian, we don't have to go downhearted with frowns. We smile because we love God. We love His church. Would you bow your heads, please? I want to mess with the praise team one more time as we do the final song. I don't know what you had picked for the final song, but I want to do that last song we did earlier. We're gonna stay with the one that we did. Oh God, you're beautiful. And I want you to do something. I'm just gonna ask because God is just pouring Himself into you, and He hears your heart today. And He's saying, I love you. And so, again, as we sing, let this be our prayer. Let this be a song that comes from our heart. If you can remember the words and close your eyes and just imagine God touching you, that's okay. If you have to look at the screen, that's okay too. Let's go ahead and sing this together.